Butler, St. Helena, California, April 11th, 1906. Dear Brother Butler, I have received and read your letter. I am more than pleased to know that your health is good. My brother, you will certainly need all the soundness of mind and body possible. In regard to the matter of your acting a part in the general field, if the Lord directs you, He can keep and guide you. In this matter, I leave you to follow the directions of the Holy Spirit. Let the Lord lead and guide you. I will say, however, that in Battle Creek, you will have to deal not simply with human agencies, but with satanic influences. Be assured of this. Everything that can be done should be done to save our people from being led into error. If ever men were possessed with the power of satanic science, some of those in Battle Creek are. I am bowed down with grief at times, and then victory comes, and great light is presented. I say to you, seek the Lord for guidance. In our labors, we do not know which shall prosper, this or that. Falsehoods are placed before the people as light, and there are those who seem to act with a great deal of prejudice against me and the work God has given me to do. There are many in Battle Creek who are in darkness, and some act as did the Jews toward our precious Savior. Can we expect anything else from those who have given themselves up to frame all the evil presentations possible? I will not say what your duty is, but I will warn you that many wicked presentations will be formed to counterwork the truth that should come to the people in this stage of the earth's history. Gird on the armor, Elder Butler, for you will need it in the work you have in mind to do. You and I have great reason to thank God that at our age we can stand in defense of the truth. We need not come to the conclusion that it is not possible for the people of God to hold sweet communion with one another. It is possible. But those who create perplexities are going to be the means of disunion and lack of harmony. We are to hold the beginnings of our confidence firm unto the end and be on guard against the attacks of the enemy. Did not Christ come to his faithful disciple, who had been exiled to Patmos, to give him warning of what would be in the closing scenes of this earth's history? Speaking of this, the Apostle says, 1 John, who also am your brother, and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And, what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Revelation 1, verse 9 to 11. The message was to be given widespread to all the churches. We are to proclaim this message today. In no case are we to cease to give the warnings given through John. If ever there was a time when we are to proclaim a special message, it is now, just now, in 1906. The Lord reveals many things that it is needful for His people to understand in these last days. Many things, which are now dark and mysterious to many, even to Bible students, will as the end draws near be plainly understood by those who are not drawn into Satan's snare. The Lord has been pointing us to fields unworked. If the messages He has given had been heeded, many thousands of souls would have been brought to a knowledge of the truth. But efforts have been made to draw souls to Battle Creek, and many of our people have crowded together there. Let the message be heard there. Go ye into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Luke 14, verse 23. Our work is to search the Scriptures, for in them we think we have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Christ. The knowledge gained from a study of God's Word will be perfect and progressive, and the lessons learned from the great teacher are repeated and repeated by converts to the truth. From the treasure house there are brought forth things new and old in the rich knowledge of God's will. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. Our lives are to give evidence that our citizenship is in heaven. We are now to prepare to be advanced to the higher school. If in this life we eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of God, making the truths that He taught a part of the daily experience, we shall have eternal life. Christ explains the spiritual meaning of the command to eat his flesh and drink his blood. "It is the Spirit that quickeneth," he says. "The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." John 6, verse 63. With this I will send you copy of a letter I have written to Dr. Paulson. Every word of it is truth. How vain is the help of man when Satan's power is exercised over a human being who has become self-exalted and who knows not that he is partaking of the science of Satan. In his self-confidence, he walks right into the enemy's trap and is ensnared. He did not heed the warnings given and was taken as Satan's prey. If he had walked humbly with God, he would have run into the trysting place God had provided for him. Thus, in times of danger, he would have been safe, for God would have lifted for him a standard against the enemy. Those taken in Satan's snares have not yet come to a healthy mental attitude. They are dazed, self-important, self-sufficient. Oh, with what sorrow the Lord looks upon them and hears their great swelling words of vanity! They are puffed up with pride. The enemy is looking on with surprise at their being taken captive so easily. He who cherishes a pure, holy spirit will be bound up with Christ in God. The virtues of the Savior cannot be overestimated. All who are Christ's will hear his voice speaking to them in invitation. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 28-30. "I felt my spirit sick nigh unto death" is the experience of the penitent sinner who comes to Christ in full hope of receiving pardon. "I heard the Savior's invitation and came to him, and he has given me rest." Oh, that the veil could be rent away, and the men now deceived would come to their senses and in meekness and lowliness come to Jesus and confess their sins and be converted. Oh, that they would study the word so pregnant with divine power, and say with the prophet, "I stood upon my feet, and he spake unto me, and the Spirit entered into me, when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, so that I heard him that spake unto me." See Ezekiel 2, verse 2. Very close is Christ to the man whom he desires to renew in knowledge. And the proud-spirited, deceived soul acknowledges his sins. God's precious word gives him hope and courage to lift his voice, saying decidedly, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Luke 4, verse 8. He lays hold on the outstretched arm that for so long he has felt no need of. He grasps it with the very grip of a man saved from death, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan." This is the watchword with which he confronts the enemy and grasps with both hands the divine power of Christ. There are some of our medical missionaries who have been deceived by false theories and seduced by false principles. The power of Satan over these deluded souls can be broken only by their coming to the Savior and laying hold on his strength. If they bow before him in repentance and contrition, he will forgive them and make them partakers of the divine nature. Satan's hold will be broken and the victory gained. Then will be heard the words, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Philippians 4, verse 13. "Yes," saith the Savior, "I have opened your blind eyes, I have strengthened you." The peril of delaying to come to Christ is not discerned by those who are under the power of Satan. But when there comes the sense of acknowledged guilt, how the stricken soul hides himself with his God. Let guilty sinners come close to the one who is their atoning sacrifice. Let them cling to him as with the grip of death. No human being can heal the soul that has done despite to the Spirit of Christ. Only through the Savior can healing be obtained. The sinner hath said, "I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Psalm 32, verse 5. This is an age of skepticism and unbelief, an age of hatred of reproof. Let men beware how they entertain the sentiments of satanic agencies. Let them remember that mocking at the warnings of the Lord may mean they're being left to their own way. The only hope left is to turn to God with full purpose of heart. God will pardon the transgressor if he will repent. Nothing but satanic agencies, working through the influence of mind upon mind, would have brought about the apostasy that has now come through those to whom has been committed a solemn charge. Men have turned away from the warnings given and are being deceived through the influence of mind over mind, and the results are most deplorable. One sinner, under the influence of the enemy's deceptions, can work untold harm. Oh, how many souls have had their faith ruined and their confidence spoiled by the protestations of belief in the testimonies, uttered by those who for years have shown positive disbelief in them. I was relieved when some who had been making these protestations decided that the time has come to take an open stand. I felt relieved because minds will not now be captivated by assurance after assurance that they believe the testimonies. Oh, if those who have had faith in these men could only know how the Lord regards their confidence in those who, while men slept, have been sowing tares among the wheat. Some whom I warned against being deceived have not heeded the warnings. If they continue to depart from the faith and to give heed to seducing spirits, sentence will be pronounced upon them for spoiling the flock of God. Now, my dear brother, I would not restrain you in any way from trying to save your children or from trying to save Dr. Kellogg. I have hoped and prayed for Dr. Kellogg, and I hold on to him still. But when he allows Satan to work upon his mind, leading him to manufacture assertions against the testimonies that God has given, when he sows tares in such a marked manner, influencing other minds, I dare not keep silent. We must do all we can to counterwork this terrible effort to impart unbelief that will place souls where there is not a voice in the world to which they will take heed. I must speak decidedly. I mourn over the souls who have been lost to the cause of truth. I mourn that some who have been warned have gone decidedly against the warnings given. But I think that I have done my duty in giving the messages given me. Again and again, the burden has come upon me with reference to the medical work. I saw that it was not being carried forward in accordance with Bible truth. Souls have been flattered until spoiled in discernment, and this under the supposition that the one in whom they had confidence was standing right. There is a day of reckoning not far ahead. Let us prepare for this. In regard to your going to Battle Creek, I entreat you not to link arms with the medical men there and take their words as truth. I would say, be not deceived, for the Lord does not want Butler mocked. Save your son if you can, but do not become ensnared yourself.